Good afternoon and welcome to another Saturday with Woods and Water South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz and I just spent 2 days in the Twilight Zone. My very own personal episode. I mean, it was, I don't know, I'll tell you all about it a little bit later on, but it was two very fun but tiring days at the FLW Bass Fishing Championship on Lake Murray. And then a little bit of time yesterday at the expo and two evenings at the arena in downtown Columbia. Like I said, much more on that later in the show. I appreciate you spending part of this Saturday with me. And remember, you can listen to the show right there on your FM dial, download the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app, or listen live streaming feed at www.conservativetalk945.com. Just look on the right side of the webpage and click the listen live link. I went fast on Thursday. I mean, somewhere around 80 miles an hour in a bass boat, driven by a 67-year-old guy named Marvin. You see, the FLW set me up with a driver, a boat driver for with Thursdays and Fridays, while I was down there. I won't have one tomorrow when I go back down because I'm taking my family with me, but, they gave me a boat and a driver and said, go do and see and take pictures and have fun. And I did. Thursday was nice out on the lake. We spent 6 or 7 hours out there, enough for me to get about, I think, somewhere around 800 or 900 pictures that now I have to go back and look at. Friday morning by 8:30, there was a haze on the water and, upper 90s. For a high temperature, and I looked at Marvin, and I said, you know what? So about 12 o'clock, I want to be somewhere in the air conditioner. How about you? He said, that's not a bad idea. So, but anyway, what happened was Marvin is a member of the senior bass fishing club on Lake Murray. He lives on the lake, and the FLW evidently pulled a bunch of those guys to be their media drivers. So it was really cool. We pulled up every time we pulled up to a gallery of boats following a pro, there would be another boat or two with a bunch of his friends on it. And they would start talking and ribbing each other. And I, besides being in the Twilight Zone, I felt like I was getting a preview of my life 20 years from now with all of my hunting and fishing buddies. It was so much fun. So, but the best part, yesterday when I got off the boat, we had taken some pictures together and that sort of thing. I said, Marvin, I said, need your email address so I can send you some pictures. And he didn't look up. He said, I don't have one. He said, in fact, I don't even have a computer. And I really opened myself up with the next one. I asked him, well, how am I supposed to get these pictures to you? And he said, in the mail. it continually amazes me how our generation relies on technology. How many pictures have you sent through the mail? Much less, how many pictures have you printed in the last year? And if you're like me, you just go get another SD card or you go into your other computer, create another file and do another backup to your other computer. That's what I do. And then I always say, oh, man, I'm going to print some pictures. And I never do. One more gem about Marvin. He didn't know on a cell phone either. He had to borrow a friend's wife's phone for the cup so that, Joe or Bill, if they needed to get a hold of him, they could call him. And it was so funny because a couple of times we were sitting there and you try to be quiet in the gallery. I mean, yeah, you're, 50 to 75 yards away from the pro that's fishing or whatever. So you try to be real courteous and quiet and you don't run up on them. But it rang a couple of times and he started looking around like, what is that noise? And then it would hit him, oh, that's this phone. And he tried to get out of his pants and try to open it up and answer it. You don't know how much I envied Marvin for those 2 days. I mean, do you remember the last time you drove 10 miles down the road and didn't make one, if not more than one phone call? Yet we all wish our lives weren't so controlled by technology and the instant demand for information, whether it's email or phone calls, social media, texting. Just some food for thought, and trust me, I'm as guilty as the rest of you are. But it was a great 2 days. I'll tell you more. That's on the schedule. Today we're talking about the FLW Cup Bass Championship down on Lake Murray. And yes, I know some of you out there just rolled your eyes. Oh, bass fishing. That may be your first reaction, but what about that 10-year-old sitting in the room with you or something? I saw a slogan, and I think that Dan Dupree from Camp Wildwood sent me this this past spring or something that says we have too many Xboxes and not enough tackle boxes. And that's true. Yeah. And yeah, I know bass fishing comes with a price tag that's out of reach for a lot of us, including me. But, you know, you don't have to have a $40,000 bass boat to go bass fishing and to appreciate what these guys do and all. But this whole thing in Columbia is free. Do you get that? It's free. All it costs you is the gas to get down there. Pocket money for food, or, you know, they're selling t-shirts, like at the University of South Carolina Anglers booth. They got a $15 t-shirt there. But a lot of these big companies, they're giving away stuff, hats and koozies and anything you'd normally would find companies giving away just for advertising. It's free. You can buy whatever you want, but it's free. The launch tomorrow morning, they're giving boat rides out at the ramp tomorrow morning at Drew Island State Park. The expo downtown is free. The weigh-in's free. The Rodney Atkins concert tomorrow afternoon is free. You don't have to spend any money to go down there and enjoy being around a bunch of guys and families, for that matter. Tons of families down there yesterday afternoon. I was at the DNR Kids Art booth, and we had families coming through. And so anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. I do have some other stuff. We'll just see how far it goes and what we get to. If you want to call in, if you've been to the FLW Tour yesterday, if you've been to one in the past, if you've been to a Bassmasters Classic in the past and you want to chime in and give us how much fun you had there, give me a call. You know, those numbers are 235-9405. If you're out of the area, 877-235-9405. If you don't want to go on the air, give your name or your question or comment to Dave. He'll put it up on my screen. First, right off the bat, I have, and this is, I would prefer someone under the age of 15. I have the FLW cap that they're giving out down there. It's red. It's a trucker hat, so it's red brim, red bill, white trucker hat, FLW across the front, and I got Forrest L. Woods to sign it. Yesterday afternoon at the weigh-in, he and Nina were there, and we've talked several times over the past couple of days. He's like, man, what a great guy, and his wife, too. 82 years old, and they were at the launch the other morning. And they're going to be at launch tomorrow morning. So anyway, I've got a signed Forrest L. Wood FLW Cup hat. If you want it, first 15-year-old and under to call into the station, it's yours. If nobody gets it today, I'm going to take it back down there and give it to some kid sitting on the front row at the weigh-in. So, call in, you get yourself a hat. Now, calendar. Calendar of events for today. Don't forget that Skytop Orchard is open. First cool day will find me up there. And I got an email from a guy that I was at the TU, at the DNR, booth yesterday doing, and he sent me an email. The Mountain Brow Bridge Trout Unlimited chapter is having a meeting Monday, August the 18th, and they have got Charles Glatzer of Shoot the Light. He's a wildlife photographer. You see his images all over National Geographic, outdoor photography, National Park, Smithsonian. He's going to be at the Mountain Trout meeting the 18th to give his little speech. Great thing to go see. I mean, if you got somebody, and he'll probably answer questions and give you tips. Good thing to go see. Quality Deer Management Association, the Foothills branch right here in Greenville, is having their banquet on the 21st, 6 o'clock, St. George Greek Orthodox Church in Academy Street in Greenville. You can go to the Quality Deer Management Association webpage and get the all the information you need. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Another good banquet to go to. Somebody else sent me a flyer for the Outdoor Dream Foundation, the second annual Brandon Brody Memorial Bass Classic Celebration. It's the Outdoor Dream Foundation. They are the organization that took up the slack when Make-A-Wish stopped doing the hunting part of their things. That is going to be in Anderson on the 22nd. Hank Parker's going to be there. So here comes a break. I'll get back to more of the calendar events when we get back, and stay tuned. We're going to talk about bass fishing and give you a really in-depth and backstage look at it. I'll see you on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Dave was in there waving his arms and pointing, and I was like, I don't understand. He said, give the number for the hat. If you want the hat, it's 235-9405. That's the number. I gave that, I think, but anyway. Getting back to the calendar of events, the Outdoor Dream Foundation, they're going to have their banquet the 22nd. That's going to be I know they gave the place in here. It doesn't say where. I thought, at the Anderson Sports and Entertainment Center. I'm sorry, it's right there in black and white. They're going to have Hank Parker there. I saw Hank Parker twice. I saw him at the red carpet event down in Columbia, and then I saw him at the weigh-in on Thursday night. Just a great guy. Oh, man, just as real as they get. To be as famous as he is. Right here at Paris Mountain State Park, fourth Friday, so you've got one more, August the 22nd, Turtle Trail Naturalist Hike for families. Your school, I think, is fixing to come back into session, and you don't have much more time to do stuff like this as a family. So at Paris Mountain State Park, you need to register 2 days before, so August the 20th from 10. August the 20th be the registration deadline. The 22nd from 10 a.m. is the walk. You're going to walk around, pick up stuff, take it back, and look at it in the park microscope. Just a good time to get out there and get your kids outside. Here we go. The Bluffton Boilers are having the Bull Peanut Festival 2014. Yes. August 23rd from 12 to 5 p.m. Down in Bluffton, South Carolina. And I was driving the back roads like I normally do between Columbia and Charleston the other day, and I went through Cameron, and they were harvesting peanuts, and I've got a big thing I'm going to do on peanuts, but you'd just be amazed how many peanuts we grow right here in South Carolina. And bull peanuts, that's just they announced that barbecue was the official, I don't know, food of South Carolina or something on Wednesday afternoon in Columbia in association with the Bass and Barbecue FLW Tour. But I tell you, bull peanuts ought to be the official snack of South Carolina. While I was at the expo yesterday, a lady came through and she said, we started talking, she's Tony. She's with the Defenders for Children org. They are having a Cast Against Abuse bass fishing tournament Saturday, August 30th down at Portman Marina on Lake Hartwell. $150 per boat, $1,000 for first prize. Her email, and she said to give this out, is Tony, which is T-O-N-I, at defendersforchildren.org. And their whole thing is to prevent child abuse in our community. So, which was a worthy cause, I would think. She had said something about having one of her pros call in the show today, but we never connected yesterday afternoon, and I had to get down. So, I don't know. We may work out that for next week. It's getting late in the year, but you can still go crabbing down at Myrtle Beach State Park, or Huntington Beach State Park. Why am I going to get it together today at some point? Huntington Beach State Park, now through the end of August 31st, you can get down there and go crabbing every week on Wednesday and Friday. And they're going to take you out, let you use hand lines with chicken nets, dick nets, and you're going to learn about their ecology, wear shoes that can get wet and muddy. And they said this is the catch and release program. So you still got a few things to do this summer. Fall is just around the road. Just around the corner, and you know, we're gonna have hiking cranking up, hunting season is coming here. The calendar of events is gonna get kind of slim because there's not much going on, as much going on. So if you know of something that's going on out there and you want it on the calendar of events, let me know. I'd love to talk about it on the air, and we'll put it up on Facebook and the webpage. So that's it. Let's switch gears and talk about the FLW just a little bit. I apologize. I have about 25 minutes of interviews with Anthony Gagliardi, Casey Ashley, Brian Thrift, and some of the other guys down there. And I've got it on my digital voice recorder and I cannot get it off. It's there. I can see how much data it's taken, but I cannot get it off my little voice recorder. So I apologize for that. I think what I'll have to do is I'll condense those into little mini segments over the course of the tournament. I'll get some more interviews tomorrow when I'm down there, and we'll compile them and have them for you and just be short and just kind of give you the progression through the tournament. I was going to try to do that every day, but I did not have Wi-Fi. I tried sitting in Chick-fil-A's parking lot. That didn't work because it wouldn't upload the pictures fast enough. they had trouble with their Wi-Fi at the Expo and the Coliseum. We couldn't really get it synced and working. So I've got some catch up to do. Bear with me. I will do that as soon as I have time. And though they're not listening, Bill Taylor and Joe Oppiger with FLW had just made this week great. They held my hand through this. It's the first press event I've been to. The work they do behind the scenes is incredible. It made everything I did for the past 2 days possible and what I'm going to do tomorrow. I guess I wasn't too much of a pest because the FLW is not coming, or the Elite Series is not coming back to South Carolina next year. But Joe wants me to make a trip and come to Alabama or Tennessee or Arkansas next year just to keep up with it. So I guess I did a pretty good job. Maybe one of those stops when they roll through Alabama. And that's as close as I'm going to come to saying that. But my Alabama grad niece just said it for me. So maybe I need to take Woods and Water SC on the road and do a pro update next year. Media day, you know, right off the bat, Tuesday afternoon, media day at the ramp with the pros. That's when Twilight Zone episode number one started. It was overwhelming. I mean, I was out of my element. I didn't know any of these people. I've been out of bass fishing for 15 years. It's when I first started saltwater fishing. And it's not that I didn't enjoy bass fishing, because when I come back into it now, I remember how much fun we used to have. So it's not that. It's just that I just ventured off into saltwater fishing and really just don't have time for a whole lot of it, of other things in my life. So I just kind of let it drop, other than the occasional farm pond fishing, that sort of thing. But, you know, media day, get out of the car and I walk up and there's a pavilion full of these jerseys with names and sponsors and all. And it's just, wow, way out of my element. But it was really nice because the first team I walked up to, there were some young guys and I just started talking to them. It turns out they were the University of Minnesota collegiate team who won the tournament on Lake Chattooga a few weeks ago. We talked about the University of South Carolina team made that tournament and were fishing to be in the FLW Cup. Well, these two guys made it. And I asked him, I said, you know, Minnesota, do they really have largemouth bass up there? And he goes, oh yeah, we got a good population. He said, but don't tell anybody. He said, everybody comes up here to go walleye and muskie fishing and we want them to leave the bass alone because they're unpressured. He said, if we want to learn how to fish a new technique, our fish are great because they have never seen it before. So we know we can learn how to fish it. So I've got one of those guys. Chris Bergen was one of those guys. He's out with his family on Lake Murray today, just having fun. And he's going to be on the show with us to tell us what it was like he's a college junior, to tell us what it was like to fish with 45 of the best, well, 93 of the best fishermen in the United States. You know, what an experience for those kids out there who are in grade school, high school, college. You know, when you get up in there, a lot of these colleges and a lot of high schools now have these fishing clubs. This is where you get started. And, you know, what are the chances? But these two guys from Minnesota fished the FLW Cup and they did pretty good for themselves. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Of course, one of the favorites is Casey Ashley from right here in Donald, South Carolina. Yes, he was just standing there by himself drinking a bottle of water and I kind of walked up to him on the side and I said, now don't say anything stupid. And I just started talking to him. He's really a nice guy. You know, I was intimidated, but he's really easy to talk to. He said from the beginning, he said, I want it hot and slick. And he's getting his wish yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because it's going to be hot and slick all 3 days. He said he'd be covering a lot of water. He was the first one to use the word grind. If I heard grind once, I've heard it 5,000 times from those pros down there, because that's what fishing Lake Murray in August is all about. It is a grind, and I'll be honest with you. I didn't fish it, but I watched plenty of them do, and I talked to plenty of them, and I looked at the sunburned faces and, you know, drinking water 90 miles an hour when it came in, and I can understand why. So Casey Ashley, I followed him a good bit. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. You know, I don't remember how it came up. We got on the subject of saltwater fishing. And he said, oh, man, I love to just go spend October on the coast fishing. You'd think he'd get enough of that. But that's somebody that just really likes fishing. Steven Johnston, have you ever looked around the room and seen somebody with an endless smile and knew you had to just go over there and talk to him? That was Steven Johnston. While everybody else was talking about the grind, he was just, he's just a happy-go-lucky guy. He's from Hemp Hill, Texas. He's been fishing all his life. And said from the beginning that he hated all the herring and shad in the lake because it, and we needed more and bigger stripers to eat them all up. He said those shad schools and all were the worst thing he could ever have in a bass fishing tournament because those bass just don't stay anywhere. They just follow those schools around. And I think that's where I started picking up on that whole little thread about the bait and the bass being hard to pin down. His wife was with him, and she was just as nice as she could be. Somehow or another, they asked me, I guess, what I did, and I told them I was an accountant. And she said, well, that's funny because you really don't look like an accountant, and you don't act like one. And I thanked her for that, and I said, that's one of the best compliments everybody's paid me. Shinichi Fukai. I met Shin down at ICAST. He won the last qualifier on Lake Champlain to get into the cup field. He's already made the Bassmasters Classic in Lake, on Lake Hartwell in February, so we'll see him again. You know, they picked up, he and his wife wanted to fish in the United States so bad. He fished in Japan for 13 years. He and his wife picked up, moved to the United States. They couldn't speak a word of English when they came over. He's been here 12 years, and their thing is they still cannot believe how big the United States is and how many lakes there are to fish in. And just for your information, Japan is smaller than the state of California. So you imagine going from that fishing and that to fishing in the United States. And they came all those miles just to bass fish. Again, I'm not telling you all this to say, wow, look at me, I had all this fun. I would have loved for every one of you to be with me. It was just that much fun. So the only thing I can do is come back and talk about it and try to tell you what it was like. So bear with me. Red carpet. First year they've ever had a red carpet event, and I've never seen so many uncomfortable guys in my entire life. You know, they're trying to wear suits and ties. Some of them have made it to the jacket stage, a few ties around. There was a young guy there in a white tuxedo. He was the co-angler champion last year. He's like 20-something years old and just, you know, he was funny as all get out. But so many uncomfortable peoples. That's the first time I met Forrest and Nina Woods. 82 years old, real firm handshake, just a man's man, you know. He's the founder of Ranger Bass Boats. And I talked to Nina a little bit last night at the weigh-in about 1971. And hopefully Forrest said if I can get there and catch up to him tomorrow that he would – do an interview with me, so I might have an interview with Forrest L. Woods to play for you. I ran into Hank Parker. I'd been down to one of my sponsors, Jeffrey Archery, to practice my archery shooting skills, and I wound up with a bruise that's about 8 inches long on my arm. And I talked to Hank earlier at the QDMA convention and said, you know, I'm going to take up archery. And so when I saw him at the red carpet event, we were kind of off the side. I pulled my shirt back, and I said, see, Hank, look at my arm. I said, I went and shot today. He goes, yeah, and you're doing it wrong, aren't you? And he starts to tell me how I'm doing it wrong, and I'm thinking, this is Hank Parker, you know, television, 2-time Bassmaster Classic winner, telling me how to shoot a bow. I'll there go back to the Twilight Zone thing. He laughed, told me I was shooting wrong, tried to show me how to do it right. Getting advice from Hank Parker. Great guy. If you ever get a chance to meet these people, and I guess that's where I'm trying to come back to. They are just normal, everyday people who happen to be able to catch bass, just like somebody happens to throw a 90-something mile an hour fastball or something like that. You got to start out somewhere, and they got families. I mean, they got wives and kids. I never seen so many little 2-, 3-, 4-, 5-year-old kids running around a place wanting to touch fish and, you know, be with daddy and that sort of thing. I mean, Chris Bergen, who was a member of the Minnesota team, I said, Chris, I saw him yesterday evening. I said, Chris, what has this meant to you? Well, can you give me one sentence? And he goes, you know, he said, this week has humanized all these guys. All these guys I've looked up to as a bass fisherman. He said, they're human. They're nice, ordinary guys with families and worries just like everybody else does, but they're really good fishermen. That's where they make their living. So anyway, when we come back, I'm going to talk about day one launch, weigh in. And I'll take you through the interviews from what I can remember. See you on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water. If you want to call into the show, it is 235-9405, 877-235-9405 if you're outside the Greenville area. And we're talking about the FLW Cup down in Columbia. I camped for a couple of nights at Drear Island State Park, and that is a neat, neat little campground. It's not a little campground. The part I was in was a loop, but they had two separate areas and picnic shelters in between, and the rangers and all were just as nice. If you ever get down that way and want to go camping, Greg Ellie is the park ranger down there. Super nice guy. If you like to fly fish for stripers, he might be a good friend to talk to because he lives on the lake. And we got talking striper fishing and all. And I think in October, I'm going to have to make another trip down there and have him take me some dock light striper fishing. You know, 25, 30 inch stripers under dock lights. You got to have a horse to get those things out. But anyway, I camped at Drew Island. My brother-in-law was nice enough. Steve was nice enough to lend me his, pop-up, which was really cool. Had air conditioning, thank goodness. But you know, I always forget something and, I forgot my blankets and my pillow. So I don't know whether it was that or just being excited, but I didn't sleep but about 3 hours Wednesday night. Got up at 5:30 and was late getting there at 6 o'clock. I mean, there were tons of people there at 6 o'clock already. Blast off was at 7, so I figured I had enough time, but hey, I ran into one of the guys camped near me who was actually a co-angler in the tournament. And he said, hey, join the club. I didn't sleep much last night either. So, well, I tell you, the co-anglers in a tournament like this, they've got a tough road to hoe. You know, they're at the mercy of the pro at the front of the boat. If that pro is running a bank, and there's a couple ways to run a bank when you're bass fishing, and you back off 30 yards or so and you cast, I don't know, 45 degrees forward and fish the bank that way. And that actually enables the guy on the back of the boat to fish the bank too. Or you can run the bank, you know, from 15 feet off and parallel the bank. And the guy at the end of the boat, on the other end of the boat, if the guy at the front didn't catch him, you ran over him with the boat, they're not going to bite you. So you're fishing outside. You're just throwing out there or something. And if he's out fishing a brush pile in the middle of the lake and you're fishing the back of the boat, you're fishing in a veritable desert. So the co-anglers down there really had it. I mean, yeah, they made the big show. But it's not like when they fished and won their division or however they got to the qualified for the cup. They were just a fixture on the end of the boat, at least Thursday and Friday, because they did not fish today or Sunday. They crowned their championship last night. A kid by the last name of New won it, won $50,000. Not a bad payday for somebody who's probably got a regular job and just fishes on the weekends. The launches in the morning, free donuts from Dunkin' Donuts and coffee from Folgers. I don't drink coffee, but I tell you, I almost got a cup yesterday morning. I was so worn out. I met Marvin for the first time. I like Marvin. I'm going to have to get down and go fishing with Marvin. He's just one of those guys we just never got tired of talking to each other. It was really neat. Live interviews going on from the FLW guys on stage. Lots of people walking around, and, you know, the docks there were full of professional bass anglers sitting on their boats, getting their rods ready, talking to media, talking to everybody, you know, kids standing there talking to little kids who, you know, come to see their bass fishing hero. I guess because I talked to Casey Tuesday night, I felt a little more comfortable. So I went over and talked to him just a little bit more. And, you know, I didn't ask any real deep questions, but he said, I don't like the wind of the chop. It was pretty windy. They'd said 5 miles an hour. It's probably more like 10 to 12. Pretty good chop on the water. He said, that's not my kind of day. I don't like this kind of water. It's kind of a little intimidated to go see anybody else. So I just went and got on my ride for the day and we eased out of the landing. They have kind of like a little dike system there at, Drew Island State Park that comes out. So you've got a narrow mouth out of the end. So all the pros would come in and then they would launch them out that mouth. So we just kind of slid around the outside and, I wanted to follow Casey Ashley the first day. They had a drone flying around taking pictures. We were a couple of us right there thinking, man, we really need to shotgun to see if we could hit it and how easy it was to bring it down so we know what to do in the future. But it really did give a unique way to look at the launches. I looked just a little bit ago. I'm on the day one launch from the drone thing, if you can find me. Good luck. I'm actually in a picture too, and that's even harder to find me, but you know, I knew where I was and that sort of thing. So I couldn't find the drone footage from day two. It was there. It was sitting right on top of us because we got trapped inside on day two. But day one, we followed Casey Ashley out. There were probably six or seven boats, and combined with the wind and that many bass boats going 70 miles an hour, it got pretty choppy out there in a hurry. And it was amazing to watch him fish. And this is why I'm not a professional bass fisherman, because he was, you know, 10 or 15 feet. And it was back in the boat. I mean, he was making 50-foot, 60-foot cast, and the bait wasn't in the water but 10 or 15 feet. And I asked him about that later on. I said, you know, you're fishing really fast and all that. And he said, yeah. He said those fish, if they're going to bite, they're going to bite right on the bank or not at all. He said there's no reason to waste it. And I guess, you know, hey, he's up there fishing. I'm sitting in this radio talking about it, so we know who's the better fisherman. He didn't have a bite by 9, but we heard from one of the FLW guys there in another boat that Anthony Gagliardi was another guy I wanted to see. He already had a limit at 9 o'clock, so we left. And right after that, Casey actually started catching fish. So, hey, maybe I did him a favor by leaving. We pulled up on Gagliardi, watched him catch a fish. Around 10 o'clock, he left that spot and started hitting points going down the lake. And, I mean, it was rough. The wind is white-capping out there. It's 10 miles from where he was fishing to the dam, and we stopped twice. So we probably, you know, we idled for just a bit, but it was a nasty day out there. And then when we got to the dam, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, the wind just died. And then it got started getting really hot. But to watch these guys is really cool. They can fish, and I guess it's all just practice. And I was watching Casey Ashley flip a buzz bait under a dock, but not just under a dock, to like 30 feet beyond the dock. So he's on one side and he's flipping all the way under the dock, 30, 40 feet on the other side. That's doesn't seem like it's possible to do, but he just all over. And all those guys can fish that good. Gagliardi started moving around trying to find a random bigger fish. He already had a limit when he left his first spot, which means in the FLW Cup events, there's a 5-fish limit. They have to be 14 inches or longer. So you had a lot of shorts. You heard a lot of people talking about catching short fish, which means they're 13 inches, you know, 13 and a half, but didn't measure. But he was moving around trying to find some bigger fish so he could cull. And for those of you who don't know what culling means, it's when you get 5 fish in the box, you kind of know where you're, you know, the hierarchy or how much they weigh and that sort of thing, because there's different colored floats you can put in their mouths and that sort of thing. And he had a squeaker he wanted to get rid of, which means one that just, you know, you kind of stretch him out a little bit, make sure he makes 14 inches, but he's real close. And he wanted to cull that one out with a bigger fish. So you cull a small fish that may weigh a pound or a pound and a quarter, and you replace him with one that weighs 2.5 pounds or something like that. That's what, in bass fishing lingo, that's what a squeaker and that's what culling means. So hey, at least you learn something in this program, right? It started getting hot, and he was just running here and there. And I looked at Marvin, and I said, you know what? It's going to get hot. I said, I don't have much cushion left, so I'm not willing to run too much further. So let's just ease down the lake, see if we can find somebody else. We actually passed Brian Thrift, who's another angler from Shelby, North Carolina. Anthony Gagliardi's from Prosperity, South Carolina. So I got to cover 3 of the guys from right here in our area that all 4 of the guys, Matt Airy included, made the cut to 20 yesterday. Brian Thrift, man, he was working way back in the creeks. In fact, one time he went back in a creek so far he disappeared, but there was no way you could get many boats back in there. So all the gallery, we just sat out there and waited for him to come back out. That's when things with Marvin got fun, you know, his friends and all. We watched Thrift for a little bit, got so hot, man, we moved and we headed on back in. Day 1 weigh-in, man, I had front row seats. And if you looked on the Facebook, and I'll put this up other ways, you can see that picture. I mean, there's nothing between me and the stage except the lift that's off to the left-hand side. It was great to be there. And the anglers, as they walked down, they actually had to walk down and get their, they printed off a ticket for them every day. The angler's name, the weight, how many fish they weighed in, that sort of thing. And I don't know, maybe it's being on that kind of stage, but you would be amazed how many guys did not walk down the right way. They leave the stage going sideways or walk down the other red carpet when they're supposed to run. So I ended up running tickets to these guys, which was really neat. I was just there and they needed the tickets, and I was on the closest to the lady, and she said, would you go hand this to so-and-so? So I did. And that was fun too. But they, when I got to the arena, they wouldn't let me in the front door. They said, no, you know, you press people have to go around to the special entrance, which meant that I had to walk all the way around the building, down to the back parking lot, come in the back door. And it was hot, but it was worth it because that's the same entrance the pros used. I mean, they had all the tanks. You know, these are catch and release tournaments. The anglers catch these bass, they bring them in, they weigh them on stage, and they take them and they release them back into Lake Murray. And they were saying that they have a 98% success rate on released fish, which, I mean, they've done the science, and they spend a lot of money making sure those fish live, because a fish that has died in the live well does not count in the tournament. You get penalized for it. But the whole, that whole walkway back through was just lined with tanks with fresh water and aeration system, stuff like that, to get those pros in there. So, you know, that's where Bill Taylor was stationed. Joe was running back and forth. If you wanted to talk to a pro after he weighed in, you told Joe they had to come to the media room, but he would get you with them and all. Media seats were great. I wish y'all could have been there. I'm going to put up pictures so you can see what it was like. Got the music coming up. We'll talk a little bit more about this, and I've got a little bit of hunting news I want to get to this next segment. So stay with me, and we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to the last segment. Spend a few more minutes on the FLW. Tell you a little bit about what's going on tomorrow. Encourage you to get down there. And I got a little bit of hunting news I want to get to, because hunting season, actually in lower part of the state, deer season started yesterday. And of course I had a friend send me a picture of a nice, I don't know, 8 or 9 point in velvet that he got. Yep. I'm not going to go there. I'll deal with him next week when I'm in Charleston. Day 2 launch. Same scenario as day 1, except, you know, I was getting a little more into my rhythm. And so I actually interviewed Anthony Gagliardi, Brian Thrift, and Casey Ashley, and Shin Fukai. I interviewed all 4 of them there. And, you know, these guys, they're getting ready for the day. And I figured out, he just, like Brian Thrift, when he pulled up, he got into his rod boxes and started doing it. And they're there to be sociable. And I said, you know, when you get a moment, I'd like to ask you a couple questions. He's like, sure, you know, and he got all this stuff. It took him 2 or 3, 4 minutes to get his stuff. And then he, you know, let me talk to him. Anthony, his boat kept drifting away, and he was like, I tried to hold it on. He said, let me just get off this boat where we can talk together a little bit. So, you know, and you can do that tomorrow if you want to go to the launch at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, they launch at 7, but you can get there about 5:45, 6 o'clock when things start going. They're all there. Well, Sunday morning, there'll only be 10 of them. The field gets cut down tonight from 20 to 10. So it started out 45, 45, Thursday, Friday. Got cut. The top 20 made the fish today. I don't have any updates today. You can go to FLW Tour Live and get the updates. I did look at Twitter. Some people that had just barely made the cut were actually having good days. Thrift and some of those were having their regular days. He told me last night, he said, I've got a couple holes. I can go catch 10 fish out of it anytime I want to. He said, I'm trying to save those for emergencies. So that was kind of neat, getting the backstory to some of these guys. Day 2, we followed Gagliardi to his original place on day 1. He caught 3 fish just like boom, 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 but it slid down. It was dead calm, hot sun. And he told me last night, he said, you know, my primary spot is probably burned. He said, I won't go there in the morning because I don't think there's anything down there. But so day 2, man, about 8:15 or whatever, he picks up, and I think, okay, here we go. We're going to go bounce around the lake again. But he ran all the way to the dam, which is a 10-mile run. Now, this was the fun part. Marvin, my driver, does not like to be in last place. But we were closest to him because I was media and I was taking pictures and that sort of thing. So we had Gagliardi in front and probably 15 boats, and then me and Marvin. And That's another day we probably hit 80 plus miles an hour. But in 10 miles, by the time we got to the dam, we were third in place. We had Gagliardi in front, one other media boat, and then Marvin and I, and we were smoking some boats. It was so much fun. It was smooth, so I mean the run was really nice, but he's got a bullet bass boat, and that thing will fly. That's my boat race story. It's almost impossible to get them catching one of these fish on film. You figure they caught, well, he caught 3, and 2 of the ones that he caught that morning were, his back was to me. I didn't even know he had the fish until, cause we were a ways off, cause how calm it was, we backed way off, probably 100, 120 yards, just to be nice. It's incredibly hard to get one of these guys catching a fish on film. So if you want to see those pictures, go to the FLW website. They got some great ones. I came off really early because it was going to be so hot. I had committed to the Department of Natural Resources to volunteer at the kids' fish art booth in the expo. You know, tomorrow, if you go down, go there. It's, you know, they got the little rubber fishies, and you know, the kids can paint them with whatever paint. And then you take the paper and lay them over it. There's a Japanese art form to it, but I can't pronounce the name. I got it written here. I'm not going to attempt to say it, but they can do that there. There's other kids' activities there at the expo. There's a, I think a little kids fishing thing where they can fish. I know Jimmy Houston was up on there flipping at lily pads when I was there yesterday. I didn't get to spend much time there, but all the pros that didn't make it are going to be there. Go talk to these guys. They love to talk to kids, especially. They'll talk to you as long as you don't, you know, come off as knowing more than they do. Remember that when you go talk to them. They do it for a living. We do it for a hobby type thing. But there's two levels to the expo. They got a big ranger display there, University of South Carolina Anglers, which, by the way, those guys are giving away a $500 gift card to Walmart. So if you're down there today or tomorrow, go by the USC Anglers. They're in the same area with the ranger bass boats and all. Find them. They'll enter you to win that gift card. Getty's Brandon texted me this morning, asked me if I'd say that on the air. So last night I spent all my time in the media room. So these bass anglers, when they come off the stage, they do their weigh-in, they walk down and get their little ticket or whatever, and they come back to the weigh-in room. And that was really cool because that's when you see the human side of them. You know, the mics are on, the questions are asked, you get the interview, the mics go off, and it's like, well, the wings are really good because they had wings last night. You know, they ran out of drinks. You got kids back there with their, you know, Marcus Sakura's kids were back there. He's got a little boy and a little girl. And the little girl, nah, she didn't have anything to do with the fish or anything. Cute, but she didn't want anything to do with the fish. The little boy, he wanted to touch a fish. Marcus took him back there to the where the guys were standing in line so he could touch a fish. The Minnesota kids, they did good. Chris Bergen, he won $500. Thursday for the big bass. He caught a 5-pound, 4-ounce fish, off the back of a boat on a tough day, and it won $500. Austin Felix, who was the pro part of that. Chris was the amateur on the back. Felix was fishing the front. He finished 36, but you know, for a guy that just graduated college to fish in that environment, that's really cool. I hope Chris and those are having a good time out with his family today. Talked about the co-anglers having such a hard time. Okay, tomorrow, Sunday launch, 6:00 in the morning, be there if you want to go. Evinrude Motors is giving test rides. If you want to go for a ride in a bass boat, you can call them if you want to. You go to the FLW site, they have a link to them. You can call and reserve a time if you want to. I'm going to go give my, Taylor and I are going for a bass boat ride tomorrow because she likes to go fast. Lowrance, if you're in the market for any kind of Lowrance stuff, they've got a technology boat set up where you can go try out the latest technology. The expo, you know, the DNR Take One Make One trailers there, the casting area. They just judged the fish art contest, which was a big deal. I saw it. I didn't have time to go look at it, but these are kids that have, you know, artists that have drawn the fish and all that, and they're awarding the awards and all. Lots of vendors. You can get, barbecue and bass is going on tomorrow. Actually, the competition's today. They were setting up last night. South Carolina Barbecue Association, inaugural bass and barbecue, there at the Expo Center. They were setting up. So the competition is today. Tomorrow, if you go, that barbecue is for you to eat. And you can sample, I think they had somewhere upwards of 20, 25 different barbecue huts going. So you can eat that tomorrow, which I plan on doing. Live Rodney Atkins concert tomorrow night. I think it's at 4:15, if I'm not mistaken. It's free. The expo is open from 10 to 4:30. Concert starts at 4:15 or so. The weigh-in starts at 5:00. Remember, this is free. This is a great family outing. Go and do it. I will be there. I have new Woods and Water South Carolina embroidered shirts. I'm going to have on a white one tomorrow. I'll be wandering around the expo with my family. And I've got some goodies to give away, so if you see me, let me know. I got some stuff for you if you're a listener to this show. I hope you'll go. I hope to see you down there. You know, don't blow it off as just, it's a bunch of guys just, you know, bass fishermen. No, it is bass fishing, but it's about the kids too. Those guys, they love talking to you kids. So if you see those, you see pros walking around or at the booth tomorrow, stop in and say hello, go to the launch, stay for the weigh-in and let's see who wins $500,000. That's what they're fishing for, $500,000. And let me tell you what, if somebody wins, whoever wins it tomorrow, we'll have work for it. Trust me, those fish are hard to catch right now. Okay, that's enough. I hope you kind of got a little bit of an insight that you wouldn't normally have gotten. Just, I wish you could have been there with me. I'm going to put up a ton of pictures and some video as I get, audio as I get it. So I hope you enjoyed that one. If you're a bass fisher, if you're not, I hope you learned something. I hope maybe you'll go down and next time we have a tournament here, Lake Hartwell coming up in February, the BASS Classic is going to be there. The smaller bass tournaments, they're for a good cause and there's just a bunch of really good guys doing it. Gonna switch gears. Hunting season. Hey, it's just around the corner. Migratory bird. Regulations have been set. Dove hunt starts September 1st. The 1st through the 6th, it's only noon till sunset. They did away with the draw hunts this year, in case you haven't figured that out, which really some people did not like that, especially some of the DNR biologists, because it gave them time to do a safety talk and get people, you know, kind of ready for it. If you're going opening day, the 6th, be careful because those fields are going to be packed. There are some, you know, some general rules of the road for dove hunting. You know, don't shoot below the tree line at low birds. Keep your guns pointed in a safe direction at all times. Put space between you. It's going to be crowded on Saturday. The next Saturday it won't be. But that first day it's always crowded. Be careful. Give each other some room. Be nice to each other. You can go look at the seasons, September 1st through October 11th, first season, November 15th through the 29th, and December 13th through the 15th. We got 20 additional days this year. Bag limit's 15. If you go to a public field, remember, 2 boxes of shells, 15 bird limit. And there will be wardens out checking, so make sure you have all your HIP permits and that sort of thing. In addition, on the dove side, you know, South Carolina, well, there's actually 35 states that have a dove banding program. So if you shoot a dove that's got a band on it, contact DNR. We banded, let's see the statistic here, about 19,000 doves since 2003. I've never gotten one. Not a big thing. But if you do happen to run across a banded bird during your dove season, get a hold of DNR, report the band. 1-800-327-BAND. They send you a certificate, which is kind of nice. I've got a couple of duck certificates. So they've also announced that mobility hunts for upstate hunters, and they're going to be 2 hunt dates, and you're going to get to hunt some great places in South Carolina. And these are 4 applicants for this hunt are carefully screened, and they're permanent and severely mobility impaired. That means you're confined to a wheelchair, walker, that sort of thing, or single or double amputees. These are hunts for you. You can't have somebody go with you to help you. The DNR will be there. There's no cost for these. Lots of sponsors, lots of places. I may bring this back on the next show too, because I just can't get through with it all and we're running up against the end. So, let's see here now. I guess we got, it's a good thing. This is an opportunity. If you know somebody who's just down because of wounded warriors or stuff like that, this is for them. And this is a way to get them outside, and it's free. Okay. Chuck Norris for this week. Chuck Norris is the only man to ever defeat a brick wall in a game of tennis. Got that? Brick wall, game of tennis? Yeah. Okay. I will get these things caught up. All the pictures and blogs and all. I do apologize again for not having the audio and not being able to get these things up. Go camping at Drew Island. It's a great place. Go down to FLW tomorrow. Have some fun. I'll try to get some more interviews tomorrow while I'm down there. That may or may not happen. I'm going to have the family with me and I want to spend some time with them because I have been going a lot covering these sort of things and they've kind of been at home. So I'm going to take them tomorrow. We're going to have a good day together. I hope you. Yes, I know we're missing church for a day. It's okay that this hasn't happened in South Carolina since 2008. So I hope if you want to take a day off and have some family time, it's just a short drive down I-26, except you need to take back roads when you go. I'll get all that. Don't forget to stop by DNR. Thank those volunteers behind the tables. They're taking time out of their weekend to be there. There's James. I hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate you spending some time with me this Saturday afternoon. Get out there, be careful, travel the back roads, and don't forget your cameras. I will see you back here next Saturday, and have a good week.